back and forth just thinking about where we want to go. And I think that we still have a lot of people stuck in prospecting because of what's transpired in Manitech and holding back materials and, you know, the inability to, you know, what do we share with and all those kind of things. So what we've done is gone back and some of the trainings I did years ago, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago that aren't on the internet yet, and because we just started posting all my on the Manitrain all the calls I started with, I believe it's 2004 or 5, I think it's 5. It may be late latter part of 04. So some of the things I trained in the past were just terrific and people really loved, so I decided to look back and see some of the, what some of those trainings were. And one of them was around a book that was written by one of my favorite guys, John Kalinch. And a lot of you know I use his book, How to Be the Best You Can Be in MLM, and I use that prolifically and buy cases of that. But another one of his books that I've trained from is called The 17 Secrets of the Master Prospectors. And I think it's a really powerful book, and so I'm going to dig into that and kind of train that over the next few weeks that we have on our Monday calls, just to, as a way to help you guys get a new focus and maybe just, you know, reemphasize the importance of prospecting and what it's going to take to be a master prospector, because every single one of us have a goal to be a master prospector. We want to be out there. If we're doing Manitech as a business and we really want to watch our business grow, we want to develop the characteristics and traits and take the actions that master prospectors take. And those are people like, that you admire in Manitech, the people that are really going out there, signing up lots of people and just getting a lot of people involved. So what makes them different from me? That's a big question you can ask yourself. And understanding the 17 secrets of master prospectors might help you look at yourself a little differently and how you're approaching your Manitech business differently, or how you could be different to achieve different results. Because as we all know, that famous definition of insanity, if you keep doing what you've always been doing and expect to produce different results, that's what we call the definition of insanity. You know, you're going to, for things to change, we need to change. And we always need to be open and ready to take on new things. And that's what hopefully the next few weeks will be about, looking at master prospectors, how they look at their business, how they look at themselves, and how we can be different to take on change in our lives, to take on some of those characteristics. So let's jump in. I'm not necessarily recommending you buy the book, because I think you'll get a lot out of the calls, and you can download the outlines and re-listen to them if you need to. But if you'd like to purchase the book, you can get it, I think, on resale value very cheaply at Amazon.com when you buy, you know, used books. And they're very inexpensive, but you probably pay more for shipping than you will for the book. But your choice if you want to purchase it and have it as a tool that you have in your library. But again, I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying that it's available if you want to take that action. The other thing that's important to do, every single week that I cover different secrets, I'm going to give suggestions on next steps. And those come right out of the book for the most part. And they're just going to be suggestions on what to work on for you guys to just really look at and work on. Now, you might have worked on some of these issues in the past for yourself, but reiteration and doing it over and repetition is part of that whole process of changing behavior. Because I know that when I read some of these things, I go, oh, my gosh, that was such a brilliant idea, and I thought it was brilliant years ago, but what have I done in my life to make my life different? And that's what we need to start examining, is am I really applying some of these brilliant ideas that I've seen in the past, or great ideas, or am I just reading them and appreciating them from being so good and then moving on and again, doing the same thing I've always been doing. So anyway, look at those, as you'll see in the outline today, and you will in the outlines to come. There'll always be action steps for you to take based on each one of the secrets. So let's jump in and start talking about the secrets. And I'm going to do it. The first time I trained this, I did one secret a week, but I think I really can condense at least two at a time so that we can get through this a little quicker. And if you have questions, we'll try to answer those as well, so we don't want to leave anyone behind. But the secrets we're going to cover today are, number one, which is the first chapter of the book, which is called Master Prospectors Do Not Sit on Their Assets. And it really has to do with we take action. Master prospectors take action. And he starts the chapter talking about education, that education isn't really a concept of gaining knowledge, but it's the purpose of education is to take action, is to move, start moving your body in direction. so we really want to get out there and take action. We want to do things even though we don't want to do them. You know, it's kind of like stretching yourself and saying you don't feel like doing it. And trust me, I can tell you, yesterday I had a whole bunch of team calls, and I gave a presentation after church at my church to about 15 people on ICANN. And I had just gotten back in from South Africa, and I can tell you, there would have been other things I would have preferred doing, like maybe napping or or just trying to get grounded after being on 31 hours of travel. But, you know, it's just doing things. It's taking action. It's what I needed to do, and I did it, and I enjoyed every moment of it. But at the time, I probably wouldn't have said, that's what I want to do. And how many times does that come up in our life where we say, you know, I really don't feel like doing it, and we end up not doing it? And the incredible thing is that when we feel like, really don't feel like doing it, force yourself to do it anyway. It's because you know you should do it. It's something that needs to. Sometimes we feel that way about prospecting as well. We don't get out and take action around prospecting because why? Because we just don't feel like doing it. But we got to take action. So the purpose of education is about action. It's we learn about things and we take action. And every single time we take action, we go through an educational process. And it's not so much that we always are doing the right thing, but it's about what we're choosing to do. So it's not, we don't always necessarily, you know, perform at our best level. We don't always, you know, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. But as we well know, every mistake we make, we come to a new realization of the right way of doing things. So it's going through and living through those mistakes that cause us to learn. And that's how we learn, from what we do. Where the actions we take are one of our greatest tools for learning. And over the last week, I remember somebody brought up the Thomas Edison story to me in South Africa, and they said, you know, it totally changed their life. When they read about Thomas Edison failing like 600 times before he finally discovered the light bulb, I don't know how many of you have read that story, but it was enlightening because every single time he failed, you know, just think of how many times we make mistakes. If we fail and we give up because we fail, then we never achieve the result. And same is true about network marketing. Thomas Edison failed 600 times, and every time he failed at coming up with how a light bulb should work, he just looked at it and blew it off as he said, I just disproved one more theory. I mean, he didn't have to pursue that again because he knew that method wouldn't work. But he never got discouraged and impatient. He just continued along his trek. So he just every single mistake, every action he took was another step in learning more. And when you take big action, of course, you get bigger results, and that's how major prospectors do that as well. I mean, a lot of us, you know, just even like the ICANN or the chiropractic thing, I can look back in my history of Manatech and how many different things that I jumped on and ran after, and some of them had tremendous success, and some of them didn't have as much success, but it was all about taking big action to get bigger results, and that's what we want to do, step out and not be afraid to make mistakes. In the outline, I put down what will you make mistakes? Absolutely, two reactions to mistakes. Which one are you? That number one is that didn't work. I knew it wouldn't. I will never try something like that again. And how many people do that? We see some people do that in network marketing. They get involved in their first month, it doesn't work for them, so they quit. Or we get the Thomas Edison approach. You know, well, that didn't work. Back to the drawing board. There's got to be a better way. It's working for others, so I know it'll work for me. And that's kind of how my attitude was when I went into network marketing. I kept, you know, my first 6 months, I think I've shared with a lot of you guys, my first 6 months in network marketing, in doing Manatech, and because I didn't even know it was network marketing when I was swallowing the products up front, because I didn't know what network marketing was. I started on the products exclusively as a consumer, and then, of course, a lot of you also know the story about my dad, and that's what kind of took me out of my 20-year career to step up in network marketing. And I had no idea, but, you know, I just kept looking, going to different events and seeing people walk across stage and going, well, if they can do it, I can do it. Why can't it work for me? Of course it can. That's very clear. That's absolutely black and white clear. I had a tremendous clarity on that. So when things didn't work for me in the first 6 months, I think I signed up one person in my first 6 months. That was not what I would call working. But it didn't matter because all I had to do is look at other people and say if it's working for them, clearly it can work for me. I just need to change. I need to do things different. So it was part of the knowledge and education that I needed to go through to learn how to risk, how to take bigger action, and move forward. Secondly, he talks about making educated choices and taking our action. So acquiring knowledge is enabling you to make more educated choices. So we want to get more knowledge, more experience, so that our choices can be based on some facts or some background and not just, seat of the pants type things. So we're going to be more directed at having positive results. So the only way you can make more educated choices is, of course, by going out there and getting more experience. So you want to be constantly in an active mode to just get more and more experience. As you've heard from a lot of people, if you've been on the ICANN calls, you're just hearing people just go through all sorts of different mechanisms to see what works for them. We have people signing up internships for colleges. We have people doing cold calling and telephone cold calling. We have people doing, ads and papers. People are doing everything from A to Z. The neat thing about the people that are being successful with ICANN is these are people that are in constant action. They're moving no matter what. They're always in action. So they're not sitting back and contemplating why it's not going to work for them. I mean, the boo-hoo, the going victim to yourself, victim to the world, victim to what's around you is just not ever going to serve you, ever, ever going to serve you. So the concept is like we just keep experiencing more and growing and learning from all of our experiences. And one of the things that he made statement in the book, and I put it in the outline, is how many of you know people have been working 20 years? In reality, what they've actually experienced is 1 year, and they've repeated it 20 times. And that's really what doing the same thing over and over again, and that kind of describes a lot of JOBs out there that people do. They experience 1 year, and they repeat it 20 times. And I think that's one of the glorious things about network marketing that, every year is so different from the last year. Every single year I've been with Manatech, it's been totally different than the year before. I can honestly say that every single year. It's different. There are different materials. There are different ways of approaching people, different marketing, different knowledge, different understandings, new products. All this newness is consistently hitting us, up markets, down markets, all sorts of things, new people getting involved that never showed up before, taking different approaches to the business. It's never the same, and I think that's one of the reasons why network marketing is such a joy is that it's a consistently changing environment that just constantly gives you more challenges and causes you to grow. He talks about the shortest distance between two points. So if you choose your two points, where you are today and being presidential, I mean, the shortest distance is what? Always we know that acknowledgement of that is it's a straight line. But the important thing about that straight line is it only exists if you're in action. You have to be in motion to get there. You can't be waffling and wavering because you're not going to be on that. You're not going to be moving in any direction at all. And the intriguing thing is they talk about people getting off course in the worry about making a mistake or getting off course or going in a misdirection. And one of the things that was fascinating to me that I never knew until I believe I read this book or maybe I've read it somewhere else as well, but that astronauts have a target when they take off and they are off course 97% of the way to their final destination. And sometimes we look at our network marketing business the same way. We feel like we're off course because we're not producing the exact results we want, but the idea is that they never worry about it because they know that it's only crucial on the landing and both ends because they can't be constantly monitoring being perfectly on course every second of the way. It's not possible to guide a spaceship like that. So they know that they're going to be off course 97% of the way, but they still get to their destination. And so the concept, apply that to network marketing, is that, being successful in network marketing isn't based on how straight your line, more likely based on how fast and willing you are to correct and adjust the actions that you take. So, again, the key to the secret number one is just taking action, putting yourself into motion, and then having the wisdom to correct it and adjust your actions to stay on course instead of adjusting your action to get off a course or adjusting your action to do something different. Stay on course and continue to analyze and look at your actions you're taking and, like I said, the stick-to-itiveness, the perseverance of continuing down that path without a fear that it's not necessarily a perfect direction or the right direction. And the other guidance you have around this concept of just constantly being in action is when you look at the presidentials in Manatech. You look at the people who are successful in Manatech. And I will guarantee you, each and every one of us that hit the presidential level all got there in different ways. We all did different things to achieve basically that same net result. And so so that gives you an idea that there isn't a straight line per se from you to presidential, because your line might be totally different than somebody else's line, but you can achieve it no matter what course you take. You just got to consistently be in action, stay in action, and correcting the course that you're taking to make sure you're creating the results that you have in mind for yourself. One of the other parts of the last part of this chapter about taking action and how master prospectors are always in motion, and of course you see that with a lot of us that, you know, we're always doing something different or trying something new or going out and finding some new way of approaching the business or, you know, shifting our gears. The other law that they talk about in the book is called the law of precision. And the law of precision was developed by Buckminster Fuller. And the other name that they've given this law that John Kinlinch put on it was called the law of side effects. And when he talks about this, it's kind of a fascinating law. It talks about every single time you see something that's, you know, a law of attraction out there, and we've heard about the law of attraction. We can talk about gravity and things like that. And what it really says is that there's, for every body that starts moving towards another body because of gravity or because it's simply attracted to it, there's always at a 90-degree right angle to that line of attraction an equal, if not greater, result that's being generated. And, and some of this is kind of, you know, theoretical, and you have to think about it, but, there, you know, when I started working with this principle, it really made a lot of sense to me because it applies in virtually everything that we do. And some of the examples that John Kinlinch gives in the book, he talks about, take for instance the sun. We know that the Earth is consistently attracted towards the sun. In fact, there's a natural gravity that sucks the Earth towards the sun, and that's your natural force that's out there directed in that direction. At a 90-degree angle from that line of attraction, of course, is the side effect, which is called the orbit, the Earth's orbit. And I'm sure if we all looked at that, we would see how beneficial that law of precision or the side effect of that gravitational pull towards the sun is, that orbit, because if we didn't end up in the sun, because that's where the Earth would be sucked into the sun. So the orbit is that 90-degree counter energy force compared, or law, based on the law of precision that we talked about, that's happening with the sun. When you look at things like, he also gave an example of a bumblebee, and that's another body of motion, and a flower, which is the second body of motion. So the bumblebee is attracted towards the flower, and the side effect, that a 90-degree angle from the bumblebee, is the concept that the bumblebee carries pollen from the flowers and drops it on all sorts of other things that causes cross-pollination. So there's another incredible beneficial side effect of this law of precision, that we're pollinating and fertilizing flowers because of the bee's natural attraction towards the flower. So with these concepts in mind about the law of precession, how does this apply to network marketing? Why are we talking about the law of precession? And it applies in a huge way because, number one, a lot of people get involved in network marketing because they're attracted to money. And they want to make some money. They want to build a residual income stream. They look at it as a possibility to help themselves with financial security. So they get attracted towards that stream of income. Now, attraction towards money isn't a bad thing. Some people go, "Oh, Mary Jo, let's not talk about it," because we get into that whole concept of, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, the love of money, and it's not called the love of money. That gets into greed, and that surely is a side effect, or you look at the law of precession, you can apply that to people, because a side effect of you being attracted to money could be that you have greed in your life. That can be that 90-degree angle. So there's no question there are people out there that have that issue going on. But it's not inherent in just being attracted to money that you have to have greed as a side effect. So we can be very attracted to money, but the beautiful side effect of that is that you get involved in Manatech, let's say, for instance, and you're attracted to the leverage or the income stream that's going to be be provided for you. But the side effect, or the law of precision, gets you so intently involved in mission work that you, that's what really drives you. You end up, instead of getting greed and imbalance, which happens to some people, you can develop a side effect, could be abundant balance and tremendous commitment towards mission. In other words, you start pouring into people at such an extraordinary amount and putting your life forward that you almost lose sight of the money being the attractor factor. Or another way of looking at it is that you get involved in Manatech to do the mission, and the money becomes a side effect, the 90-degree angle. But so many people get involved in network marketing up front as a concept of providing residual income, but it's that true attraction towards the mission work. When we start impacting lives and making a difference in people's lives, that's what really drives us. That's where we feel $1 million. That's what the money becomes secondary to the concept that we're really going after supporting people, loving on people, and making a difference in their lives. And that's what makes us feel important. That's what gives us a feeling that, you know, this is what we want to continue doing and a commitment that we want to make. And I can honestly tell you, people, over the last, you know, just spending 2 weeks in South Africa was so huge, touching the lives over there and seeing people and their plights and just the, you know, looking at, this is a provision, you know, it's God's way of just providing a provision for his people. It's just get out and network with people, love on people. Nothing greater than to go out and just love on people, support them in their health and their wealth, and through that develop an incredible ministry that actually becomes lucrative for you. The money becoming very secondary to that primary goal of just being in the mission field and touching people's lives. So It's not the, again, the side effect is not one of greed and imbalance, but one of tremendous abundance and balance in your life that you can have. Because I see a lot of people that are for life because they kowtow to the dollar bill. Everything in their life is dictated to by the dollar, so they really can't have balance. They're working 2 to 3 jobs. They're not spending enough time with family members. It's just robbing them of their quality of existence because money is so lack and they're living so much in scarcity. So look at the attraction of money as something that's going to give you the freedom to get balance back in your life and to just, you know, be a part of a greater mission than you are. And that's a law of precession. That's what we look at. And if we look at this law of precession in terms of attraction to money, that the side effect is your total commitment to add value in people's lives and build great abundance and abundance in relationships and abundance of love and contribution and health and joy, as well as the money, which is the initial attractor factor. See how this whole issue around the law of precession and network marketing really has an application with one of our laws of the go-giver. Because we talk about the law of value in the Go-Giver book. Remember that? And it was like your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. And I think that's a huge part of this whole law of precession, that we have this huge attractor factor. We might want to go out there and make some good income so we can get balance in our life. But the side effect is how much do we give, so much farther beyond what we take back in payment to people. We really develop a mission around it, contributing people's lives. At the end of chapter, so that's chapter one. It's about taking direct action, creating incredible results, and then working with the law of precession in our life and how that impacts us, that we truly can build it as a mission in a purposeful direction and yet still accrue the abundance that the Lord has in store for us. The action steps that he has at the end of the book are the three that I've listed at the end of the first half of the outline on this chapter one, which are basically looking at how we're adding value to others along the way as we build our network marketing business and really focusing on that. And that's a great thing to do because sometimes we get caught up in the negativity and the challenges that are around us and we get stuck. And I think that when you start evaluating what value am I pouring into people's lives, and I see it over and over and over again in people that we touch with network marketing business, that we keep pouring into people, and just make a list. Really focus on that. Focus on the contribution you're making in people's lives. And then number two is knowing that you deserve to be abundant and prosperous. What side effects are you do you want to create in your life as a result of your attraction towards money? So what are those law of procession side effects that you're trying to create? The balance in your life, the ability to do mission work, the ability to set up a foundation. What are those, what kind of side effects are you acknowledging that you're aimed into you know, creating in terms of your action towards, you know, network marketing is going to produce what results, what greater side effects in your life? And then the third question is, what actions, the bigger the better, can I begin to take that will move me towards my goals? Woo, it's a biggie. We all went through the goal writing experience in December, and now we got to look back and say, okay, what actions am I taking or not taking? What's holding me back from creating what I want in life, what my heart's desire is, what I really know that I can achieve? What's holding me back? What do I need to be doing differently? And start focusing on that, and then start taking those actions. So that's our take action. And anyone have any comments about take action? You know any networkers that have been highly successful in Manatech that aren't big action takers? I can't think of any. All the people I know of that have achieved great results are big action people. They're stepping up all the time, taking big action. And that just needs to be a continuous thing for all of us, is to take action. Okay, so that's first, secret number one. Master prospectors, what? Master prospectors are people who consistently take action. Secret number two, chapter number two, has to do with master prospectors are consistently consistent. Oh, and this is so huge, especially since what we just went through in 2007. We saw a lot of inconsistencies through the company, and we saw a lot of people having attitudes that were jumping all over the place based on what was going on in Manatech. And, you know, it's about getting our heads back straight on. I see people today that, you know, the minute something doesn't happen perfect, somebody says one word and they all of a sudden start going in a different direction. And I'm like, wow, why are you giving so much control to other people or other things in your life that dictate to you how you feel and how you behave? No one has the right to control your attitude and your belief system, but you do have the opportunity to forfeit that control every day of your life. And how do I know that? Because I watch people every day of their life. An event happens and they get robbed of their joy. And I go, you know what? No one has the right to rob you of your joy. No one. The only time things, events or happenings or other people can rob you of your joy is if you give them the power to do that. So it's crucial that you get a grip on that concept. That I remember one of my big events, and where this came out in a resounding way for me, was just dealing with somebody in my downline who was a real tough person for me. She was always angry, always complaining, always going victim to everything that ever happened with Manatech, always complaining, you know, this wah, 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 wah. You guys all have them. You know who I'm talking about. You probably could list two or three or four or five that you have in your organizations. And they just, every time they get on the phone with you, they just rob you. They just are so miserable or so negative or so whatever. And you just go, you know, finally, with this one person, in one of my phone calls, I just said, you know what, I don't think we need to talk to each other anymore, because this is how I feel. And I asked her first if I could give her some feedback. Are you open to feedback? Because I think that's a good thing to get to honor somebody, because maybe they're not ready to hear. But so if you say, are you open to some feedback? And most people will say yes, because they're interested in finding out what, you know, what your feedback is. And then your response is, you know, when you talk to me, this is how I feel. And I don't want to feel that way. So until we can have honoring, positive, constructive conversations, we're just not going to talk to each other. And that's how I resolved it. And I went a couple of years without talking to this person. And she was a major person in my downline. But the issue was it wasn't worth it to me to go through those experiences of negativity and a downward shift, when this world's about, you know, phenomenal opportunity. Phenomenal. Quit lingering on negatives and look forward. You know, is your glass half empty or glass half full? You know, you create your own reality. So you got to start looking at life differently and look at how different what you create becomes. You just got to choose differently around it. So master prospectors are those people who are consistently consistent. In other words, you know, they can go through peaks and valleys in their business, peaks and valleys in their lives, peaks and valleys like we saw more valleys than peaks, perhaps, in 2007 with Manatech. But you know what? You still approach that business the same way. You still have that positive attitude. You approach the business consistently. They just are consistently consistent. There isn't a thing, a roller coaster of emotional highs and lows. They don't go ups and downs. And one of the things that John Kalinge put in his book, he wrote, if you guys want to do this, you can write a north, south, and east, west axis, if you know what I mean, vertical and horizontal. Just draw an axis that you have, you have one line that's vertical and one horizontal. Almost like you're dividing a piece of paper up in a box. And on the one that's the north-south axis, that's the vertical one, you write the word enthusiasm. And on the one that goes east-west, you write the word number of people. And what he did is he drew an analysis. He picked on a guy. He gave him a name. He called him Harry. His name was Harry. Let me give you the exact. He said, Harry, I think Hot to Trot Harry or something. Yeah, that was it, Hot to Trot. Yeah, I remembered it. Hot to Trot Harry. So here comes Hot to Trot Harry. And some of you probably can think about how you were. You've had some people sign up in your organization that fit Harry's enthusiasm. He gets on board with Manatech. He shows up to a meeting, and he just gets totally on fire. He thinks it's the greatest thing since apple pie. He loves the testimonials. Of course, we don't do that anymore, at least not the way we used to. And so he's just incredulous. He's off the charts in enthusiasm, and he signs up to get involved, and he's at a number 10. Now, that starts on the north-south axis. So you go from the center point, you go 10 slots up, and that's number 10. So there's Harry. Now, what happens to Harry is he walks away from the meeting, and he starts sharing, networking with friends and family members. So he just talked to his, mom or dad. He got off the phone with them, and they start telling him, oh, I can't believe it. You're involved in this. It's a pyramid scheme. Why don't you get a real job? Da, da, da. So what happens to Harry? He is at 10 in enthusiasm, and he talked to his first person. Okay, so you go one notch on the east-west cut, and he went down to 4. And then maybe he talked to a friend that reestablished some of his beliefs, so he bounced back up to a 7. And then he talked to his uncle who told him that, this nutrition doesn't work. It's crazy to do nutrition. Da, da, and he went on and on and on. So then he drops down to a 2. And his chart, if you draw out his chart by the number of people and you go through his first 10 people he contacts, it looks like but it fluctuates all over the place. It goes up and down and side. It's just incredible what his chart looks like. It's so inconsistent. His mental state, his levels of enthusiasm kind of correlated it to a measurement of California's worst earthquakes, okay? So you'll see this chart all over the place going up and down, and that's what happened to Harry. And that happens to a lot of people who get involved in network marketing. They have their ups and highs and their lows because they're letting everything else around them dictate to them what their enthusiasm level is. They're giving it away. They're forfeiting it. Harry's chart, and you look at that, cataclysmic California earthquake that's going all over the place that probably ended up around 1 in enthusiasm for him. What is missing? There's something fundamental and vitally important that's missing for Harry. And what it is it's called personal belief. Personal belief, no matter how much juice and excitement a person has, if it's not supported by a similar level of genuine belief, the chances of someone succeeding are slim to none. That is a quote coming right out of Kalinge's book. So if you don't have personal belief, your chances of succeeding are slim to none. You have to truly believe in what you're doing. You have to truly believe it. You have to truly believe in the products and yourself. And we'll talk about what beliefs are crucial in networking. But, personal belief is so crucial. One of the equations that Kalinge puts in his book, he says, enthusiasm equals personal belief. And, enthus is a word that comes from, enthus is a Greek core that of that word, root of that word, and it means God within. So there's something for you to look at. Personal belief, God within, enthusiasm. How do we have enthusiasm? So he says it's a universal law that enthusiasm always equals personal belief. So it's our belief system. Beliefs a lot like gravity. No matter how enthusiastic you are, your beliefs will pull on your excitement until both your enthusiasm and belief are congruent. So it's a lot like that gravity. So you just want to make sure if you have low belief, you're going to pull down your enthusiasm. If you have high belief, you're going to have high enthusiasm. They're going to be congruent with each other. So that's why they give you the formula, enthusiasm equals personal belief. And what personal beliefs are important to network marketing, right? We can look at that. Or let's talk about a master prospector first because I haven't gone over that. What does a master prospector's graph look like when it's enthusiasm versus number of people? And what Kaylin says, which I find is totally true, is that master prospectors really have a graph that looks like it's really balanced. They typically are a high enthusiasm people, so they're going to be at 8 or 9 on their graph, but they're at 8 or 9 all the time. Doesn't matter if a person says yes or no or calls it a pyramid scheme or calls it, you know, is this, you know, network marketing, is this pyramid scheme? It doesn't, nothing, none of that negativity and cynical nature of man is going to detract from them because they don't allow other people to rob them of their own personal belief. So they keep it a high level. So their chart typically waffles between 8 and 9 and back and forth and back and forth, and that's about as far as it goes depending on each of the people that they talk to. And that's what a master prospector's chart looks like. And that's what our goal is, to have our charts look that way. How do we achieve that? Well, by building personal beliefs, by building our beliefs. And our beliefs that are most critical for networking are a belief in yourself. You need to believe in yourself. You need to be able to look in that mirror and say, I believe in you. And I always go to the heart of my core Christian values. The Lord created me in his image. I mean, you know, how can I say I don't believe in you when I'm looking in a mirror? If I'm in the likeness of the Lord, my goodness gracious, well, you know, that should give you that foundational belief in you. And you believe in yourself. How do you improve? How do I improve in building up greater belief in myself? By little successes. Have little challenges. Put yourself out there. Set small little goals and achieve them. That'll help you build self-confidence. Acknowledge that God's in control and you're here to work it. The energy and effort around it. That always helps me walk away from negativity, is I can look at it and say, I'm not in control here. The Lord's in control. And that helps us who are spiritually minded, that we really understand our self-confidence comes not from self, but it comes from something greater than who we are. And that allows us to have a greater constitution around our confidence and our belief in ourselves. So we want to be authentic and build a foundation of self-belief, self-esteem, self-worth, and live our truths in our lives instead of live lies. And sometimes when you look at yourself and you start representing where you are or what you're doing, we misrepresent it because we want to look better. We're in the I need to look good scenario. Leave that behind you and don't let that steal and rob from you in terms of your belief in yourself, because as we start misrepresenting where we are, we are robbing ourselves of self-belief.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
One thing with reference to that, for people that are in this wavering with the number of people, they should be assured that as time progresses and they keep going, their enthusiasm and belief in that yourself will get stronger to the point that you will be able to keep it in an 8 or 9 no matter what hits you.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's important because I was one of those people that felt like every time I got hit, I changed my enthusiasm level.
Got it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as I've been with it longer, you're right, absolutely. You need to believe in yourself and that God's doing this for you, but also that there is hope for us, that don't think that it can happen, that it does happen.
You bet. Yeah, because time just takes it. And sometimes, you know, some of you have been in my trainings around pathway class, and I would draw like almost look like a sound wave pattern. And that's what happens in networking. People get high highs and low lows and high highs and low lows. And I said, this is kind of the normal, typical behavioral pattern for most people get involved in network marketing. They come out with a lot of enthusiasm, but they have high highs and low lows. And one of the reasons for that is they don't have their vision. They don't have a belief in where they're going or a direction in where they're going. And a lot of times when you have a vision for what you're going to create, you can withstand the high highs and low lows, because eventually you become that, exactly that. You develop a greater and stronger belief system that carries you forward. So you're at a level of enthusiasm that's consistently high no matter what happens. It doesn't happen if somebody says no or tries to, because we learn not to take any of that rejection personal. We learn how to go through the ups and downs, and it doesn't faze us because it's not a statement about us. We are on a course. We're on a path. We have a tremendous belief system in our ability to achieve the results on that path. Exactly. Thanks for the contribution on that, but absolutely right. So don't throw the towel in just because you feel like you're one of those people that are kind of high, high, lows, lows. And don't go out and get on a lot of drugs because you feel like you might be bipolar going through this experience. You know, it's not about that. It's just really isolating and saying, why am I giving other things control over my enthusiasm? I'm enthusiastic, and I'm going to stick with it, but it's going to take me perhaps some time to really work on building my beliefs. And that's just dedicate the energy around that, that you're going to build your belief. So believe in yourself is really critical. You have to acknowledge your most important values, your values in your life, what your life is about, and live your life consistent with those. And that's what's going to help you with your own self-belief, is being consistent in your core value structure, consistently live that life. So build that, those beliefs, and run with them, and you'll see your enthusiasm just take off. Some people ask that question to me, too. They say, Mary Jo, you always have so much joy, and you're always enthusiastic about that. And I go, that's just the way I'm made, you know. I because it's not about me. It's about the Lord and my life and what he has me here to fulfill. And I can always go to him. And I said, he is like rock. And, you know, and when you got a rock like that, what else you need? That's how I look at life. So I just live my life in that regard. So it's just it's a simple process for me to stay enthusiastic and ecstatic no matter what happens. I just keep moving forward. And I believe in taking action, and I believe in, you know, just staying the course, being consistent and consistently approaching things. And sure, there's things that are negative out there that could get any one of us down, but it's about don't let those outside factors control you. You're giving them control. You're giving power over other things over your life. So great. Take that back for yourself. Believing in others is really critical as well, because your success will be directly dependent upon the level of service you give other people you choose to serve. You're going to be serving people throughout this, so you must believe in those other people. And that means choosing to believe in them. And it's about giving them acknowledgement and gratitude and appreciation to others. So you want to believe in others. And, you know, you consistently have to help support those people make better decisions in their life and help them see their potential. And a great way to do that is to be vulnerable with them. In other words, allow them to pour into your life. Too many times we want to be the answer to everybody and we want to have all the answers, but that one of the best ways to build other people up and build your belief in other people is allocate responsibilities to them. I have people I hear in all the time that say, oh, Mary Jo, I don't want to delegate because they won't do it. And I go, boy, that's really a bad start. I mean, the only way you just got to keep putting it in people's face and just giving them responsibilities and letting them step up and show up in a different way. And when they start showing up, that's what's going to help them build self-confidence. But by you always being the enabler around them, that's a big problem. You never give them an opportunity to do that. So create a good inner circle of people that you have in your organization, good friends, good powerful leaders that you just dedicate time and energy to help grow their leadership characteristics and show confidence in them. Give them credit for what they accomplish, acknowledge them, appreciate them. Sometimes we don't do enough of that, and that's a big shortcoming in our lives. Belief in company and products is another critical one. You got to believe in the products. I think most people in Manitech have a real strong belief. If there's one that's unwavering for most, it's the belief in the products. We see what the products do over and over and over again. And I just, you know, even though we don't do testimonials anymore, I still hear them every single day. I mean, I'm out there. Yesterday at church, I heard some new one. I had a fellow that just started taking just the optimal support packets. And the first day he took it, he said, tremendous difference in terms of just pure quality of life, feeling wellness in his life, because he's on so many prescription drugs and he has so many issues going on in his health. So it's a beautiful thing to see people respond that way. And it's just a blessing to watch the changes in people's health and their lives based on these products and what they can do. So tremendous belief in the products and a belief in the industry. Network marketing is an industry. You got to have a huge belief in that. And there are a lot of great books out there to read to help support you to do that. So those are the critical ones in the areas that you need to build your belief so that you have that level of belief so you can stay consistently consistent in your approach in your business. And I attached on the last page of the outline today, many of you have already seen this form, but maybe you haven't seen it in a long time. But it gives you 6 categories of belief, you know, and it's a self-scoring belief scale. And everything's done based on 0 to 100%. So you just kind of see where you are. It's a great thing to go back to and use from time to time to just see where is your belief And for many of us, I think it's a good thing for us to do post-2007. For those of you who've been around for a long time, you know, you went through some tough times last year. Well, did you start waffling or wavering on your beliefs? And start evaluating that. Why is it that I did that? Why did I choose to waffle on my belief in that? Because it is a choice. So it's about you saying, okay, I'm not going to choose to do that. I'm going to choose to be different. I'm going to choose to have a stronger belief in the business, in network marketing, in the products, whatever it is, wherever you started waffling or wavering. And for those of you, when you do that exercise, then you want to start working on, okay, what category is it that I have the biggest shortcoming in? And then you start working on that category so you can start rebuilding or building anew your belief in those categories so that you truly can come out and be that person that's consistently consistent, that you're going to have enthusiasm all the time because, you know what, it's a concept of personal belief. That's where it comes from, stems from. Okay, that's it. Those are chapters 1 and chapter 2, so you got some homework to do if you'd like to participate and just start working on some of those homework assignments to just help you grow in those areas. Anyone see anything in the call today that might help support them, and how might that apply in your Manatech business? Anyone want to share?
I do.
Go ahead, Russ.
I have to be honest and say that towards the end of last year, I was waffling a little bit,
mm-hmm.
not because of my belief in Manatech or network marketing, but I'd worked 2.5 years and not seen what I was hopeful of seeing results-wise as far mm-hmm. as numbers of people that I'd impacted and duplication and dollars coming in. And what I just feel like needs to be made clear is that waffling in that regard but still looking for the solution, which I can to me is,
mm-hmm.
isn't really waffling in the same way that I think you're suggesting.
No, because remember, we take action. You weren't questioning it. You were just looking for another answer. You were still in search.
The missing
and
link.
And that's a good thing to be in search. We always are looking for changes and newness. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think that's fine, because yours is, you're really saying that, wow, you and I think a lot of us were in search, Russ, because we couldn't do what we always been doing before. It was taken away from us, you know, our techniques, our models, and even though they weren't very effective for many people, they still took all my materials away. I can't share health. I can't give people miracle sugars and hand out all these great testimonials anymore and outside the box and all these great, you know, things that we've been using for years were stripped away from us. So I think a lot of people were like in search. But it's the concept of being in a positive search, knowing that network marketing is a wonderful tool and acknowledging the products in Manatech are terrific products. It just became, now how do I do the business? So keeping your eyes open to look at a new way of approaching your business. So
right.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good chair.
Hey, Joe.
Uh-huh.
This is Rudy.
Hey, Rudy.
And I'm a great reader of the Bible as well as you. And it reminds me of the story of Moses when he, of course, approached Pharaoh.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he said, okay, let my people go. And he goes, no, there's no way. And so then God said, okay, that didn't work, so let's try this. And pretty soon the major goal was accomplished and the people going.
Yeah.
And so
it only took 7 plagues, right?
Yeah, I mean, he never said, well, hey, listen, I'm going back and just living in a tent.
Right, although he wanted to, you know, that was his disposition.
Oh, yeah.
Moses,
I mean, God,
Moses had very little self-confidence. He was like, well, you know, from day one,
yeah.
He's like, why are you choosing me, Lord? You must be making a mistake, you know. And a lot
yeah.
of us feel that sometimes when we feel that, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, that we go, oh, my gosh, it can't be me.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. Yeah, good analogy. Exactly. It just takes over and over. It's persistence. Notice the persistence there and the belief, the constant belief. Moses never doubted. He just said, we just keep working, you know, because he knew that this was the result that was going to be created, and we just keep working at it until the result is accomplished. Yeah. And we don't always see how.
Moses never doubted God, but, you know,
right.
he doubted himself, and we don't doubt Manatech, but sometimes it's about maybe we can't share it as effectively. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we end up doubting ourselves or taking and seeing ourselves not worthy or not, yeah. And that's where we have to step up and say, that where is that coming from, you know? And it could become, a lot of people say it comes from lack of effectiveness. You know, I can look back, just like as Russ said, I can look back and I was frustrated because I hadn't accomplished what I thought I should have in the 2 years that I'd been there. So what was going to make it different? Taking a different approach, doing something differently. And there are plenty of approaches out there, and everybody's different. We just got to look at, find something, a tool that works for us and run with it, right?
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book, the one that we're reviewing and that calls, uh-huh. it's called The 17 Secrets of the Master Prospectors. It's written by John K. Lynch. So we'll just continue and do some more next week. And thank you guys. You're terrific and love to be back, and I'm excited, and let's just keep this thing rolling and have some fun with the book and have some fun with our business. And again, 2 more weeks for the Cancun trip for those of you who want to make it. Make sure you get your, you know, major action out. Take major action to make that happen for you. Because I think there's a lot of people that if you're at 0 points, you could be on that Cancun trip. 5 all-stars is really not a lot. Okay, love you all. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you.
Good night.
The moderator has disconnected.